Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
My hope and prayer this morning, it's the same as any time that we gather. And it's that the resurrected Jesus, who is alive, would make his presence known among us. And my hope is that you would encounter him today. Whether you've been in church your whole life, whether it's the first time you've come in, my hope and my prayer over this morning is that you would meet Jesus, that you would know him, that you would know his life and his love and his hope. When I was 4 or 5 years old, my family, we were on a sort of an Easter camp type thing in the town of Sheffield, in the middle of northern Tasmania. Anyone been to Sheffield before? Oh, okay. Now, I didn't remember Sheffield, so I did a bit of research. It's a town that's known for its murals, its artisan arts, and its high fat content butter. Some of the best stuff in the world, apparently. And it was an Easter Sunday morning, and it wasn't yet light, and our parents had gotten us up. Sort of all the parents, all the church parents, got the kids up into cars. And being April in Tasmania, we're in dressing gowns and slippers and shivering. And they drove us, and it would have been weird if it wasn't our parents, but it was our parents, so it's okay. But they drove us into a forest. And then they got us out of the cars, and we sort of walked through this forest, and it was dewy, and it was cold, and it was misty. And it wasn't yet dawn. And they'd obviously planned this and timed it very well. And they took us into this clearing in the forest. And in the clearing at one end was this sort of shallow cave. And outside the cave were some women. And they were dressed up. And I knew who they were. But at the same time, I fully believed what was going on. And they were weeping. And they were wailing. And they were saying, "Where is he?" And as dawn broke, it's like that scene in The Hobbit when Gandalf's up on top of the rock and he does this. And if you've seen it, great. If you don't worry. But dawn broke and an angel appeared on top of the cave. And he cried out in a loud voice, "Why are you weeping? Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Jesus is alive." And of course, I knew the angel was actually one of Dad's friends in a bathrobe, but my four-year-old imagination saw it as an angel and heard the news and believed it to be true. And I think that's the moment where faith was really awakened in my heart. And I was talking to Mum about it just yesterday, and she sort of laughed as she remembered, because the whole drive back to where we were staying, I was sitting in the car with a big smile on my face just saying, "He's alive! He's really alive!" I don't know about y'all, I love Easter. And of course, 30 years later, I can explain, you know, Easter, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday with more theological words. But the wonder, the sense of awe, the essence of the story, it still gets me every year. Jesus is actually alive. He's alive and he's active and he's got something to say. And there is hope. And if you've come in this morning looking at the world and you're feeling a little hopeless, then know that there is hope for you today. We're going to just have a look at a few of the things that are said in this scene. We're not going to go on any great theological journey. We're just going to stay in this garden. The angel says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The women came to the tomb. They expected to find Jesus' body. They expected to find him dead, and they brought spices. And what they were going to do is they were going to wash his body and put spices and layers of spices and cloth to wrap it up. That's what they did. And they were going to keep his body in that tomb where they thought it was going to stay. But they got there, and not only was the tomb open, but the body was gone. and they're met by angels. And one of them says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And that question just struck me this week. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The hope of the world, the light of life, is Jesus Christ. And yet, so often we look for life in every other place. So often we look for the living among the dead. And perhaps you're looking around at the world at the moment, you're considering your costs of living, you're considering your mortgage, your investments, your retirement plans, or maybe just how to get a little bit of extra petrol in the tank. And perhaps the very foundation of your life is shaking. Perhaps you are deeply concerned about the state of the world. If that's you, I would ask you with all gentleness, where is your hope? Are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other life. In him and him alone will you find life. Psalm 135 says this. Hear this carefully. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. You see, people have always worshipped dead things. People have always worshipped things that they've made. They've always worshipped precious things. Gold and silver are precious. A lot of the things that we value, a lot of the things that we put our hope in, a lot of the things that we look for life in are precious. But they're not life. There's a warning. When you worship dead things, this psalm tells us, you will become lifeless yourself. Precious things, silver and gold, they're made from the earth and they're of the earth. But ultimately, they will fade away. So why do you look for the living amongst the dead? And the next thing the angel says is this, because he's not here, he's risen. He's risen. He's the firstborn of the resurrection. He's not dead, he is alive. Jesus is alive, he's active, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's actually present with us today. Do you know him? Do you know his presence? Do you know his hope? When we look to the world, when we look to the tomb, when we look to any other thing, we will be frustrated, foundationless, and floundering. So don't look to other things, look up. Because he's risen, he's above. Look past what is going on and lift your eyes to see eternity. Jesus rules and reigns in glory. But friends, I don't know if you know this, we don't talk about this enough, he's coming back. He's coming back. And when you forget that he's coming back, life gets very overwhelming. The struggles of this world get very big. They seem of utmost importance. But when you remember he's coming back, it puts things in their place a little bit. Because he's been resurrected. But not only has he been resurrected, friends, he invites you to join him in that life. That's the beauty of it. We don't just look back and say, wow, Jesus is alive, praise God. We look back and say, Jesus is alive, praise God, and he invites me to live too. You who were dead can be made alive. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7 says this, as for you, now that's not a specific singular you, that's a beautiful big plural you. As for you and me, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were deserving by nature of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So you can put your hope in things made of silver and gold, or you can await the incomparable riches of his grace. I don't know about you, but I think there's an easy choice. Because in the same way that Christ has been risen, we have been raised. God raised us up, those who believe, and seated us, it says, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means this isn't home. This isn't it. Thank God. This isn't it. We join Jesus in making this new, but ultimately we look forward to a better thing, a better reality when Jesus comes back and heaven and earth come together and he reigns in glory and we experience the fullness of his presence. I don't know about you, but that gets me a little bit excited. Got a question. Are you living like Jesus is still in the tomb? Are you living a Good Friday reality when it's the Sunday story now? It's easier to look sometimes at the negative. Australians are very good at that. We're the lucky country, but we're pretty pessimistic, really. You want to experience life, real life, abundant life, then look to the risen Jesus. Believe in him as Lord. You want to join in the resurrection? You have to know that without Jesus, you are dead. He's the word of life, the bread of life, the resurrection of life, eternal life, abundant life. There is no life outside of him, friends. He's risen. So look up. Not only is he alive, not only is he the source of life, not only is he risen, but he has made a way for you to be in relationship with the Father. Look at this in John 20:17. He says this to Mary, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. You see, they'd heard Jesus talking about God as his Father. He talked about his Father all the time. But here he says to Mary, I'm going to my Father and your Father. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, something shifted. Something miraculous happened. Something cosmically transformed that meant that people, or as C.S. Lewis puts it, creatures, could become children. Where people could become sons of God. You see, the Father sent the Son because of his great love, to die. And when he died, sin was defeated. Death was defeated. Hebrews tells us that the serpent's head was trampled on. And then Jesus was resurrected. And it wasn't just so that he would display his glory and be like, wow, Jesus is alive, and that is the most amazing thing. But it was an invitation that you could be resurrected and made a son or a daughter of God as well. I'm seeing a lot of frowns for Easter Sunday. He's made a way for you to be in a relationship with your Father. He's made a way for you to be in a relationship with the God of heaven. And we've just done a whole heap of stuff in the book of Exodus, and we see what happens when people enter the presence of God without a relationship. Things get a little hairy. But Jesus came that you could walk in total relationship with God without fear. He made it so that we could become his children. It says in John 1, 10 to 13, he being Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And Ephesians 1, 4 to 6 says this, and he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Hallelujah. Friends, do you see it? Do you see it? If you've grown up with it, don't let it be old news. If you've heard it, you might be sitting there going, yep, I've done Easter before, Luke, I know this one. Good for you. Because it is really good for you. Don't let it be stale, friends. Don't let it be boring. Don't let it be familiar. Don't let what Jesus did on the cross be cheap. He paid something precious for you. Do you see it? He loves you. He's made a way for you. The God of the universe wasn't satisfied to leave you. So he did what only he could do. The Bible tells us that Jesus was there, that it was through him that the world was created. And he submitted himself to death by his own creation, so that he could save them. So that they could become sons and daughters, inheritors of his blessings, earned through Jesus, given by grace, received by faith. So I ask you, friends, have you got faith today? Have you got faith that Jesus rose from the dead? Have you got faith that he's coming back? Jesus' perfect sacrifice, his cry on the cross of "it is finished," has given you an opportunity to walk free of sin and death and idolatry and join him in abundant, beautiful, full, eternal life. I'm just going to get the band back up. It's a short one today. You'll be pleased to know. You can get back to your roasts in a minute. Because I thought if I just keep on talking, you're not going to hear it. Because the point is simple. Jesus is alive. Amen. and he's made it so that you can be alive too. And so, Christian person in the room, stop looking for life among the dead. Stop putting your hope in any other thing. And you'll know at the moment if your hope's in any other thing, because you'll be looking around with fear and disappointment in your heart. But is your hope in the resurrected Savior who's coming back? Friends, we've got to recognize our need. We've got to know that we need him. We've got to know that he went to the cross on behalf of us, but also because of us. I love that old hymn, How Deep the Father's Love. It was my sin that held him there. Oh, I don't know if that's ever hit you. I think if it hasn't hit you, you probably don't know the grace of Jesus. Because if you don't recognize the need, you don't recognize his great grace. But today is a message of hope. I don't know if you know this, but when you look around the world and you see things that are hopeless, do you know what God's answer to that is? It's him at work in you. You see, Jesus, in his resurrection, could have gathered those who believed then and there and said, we're done. Let's go. But he didn't. He left them and he sent them something. He sent them someone. He sent them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's work is to make Christ known. It's to make Christ known in you, but it's to make Christ known through you in the world. And so if you're looking around and you're feeling like things are a little hopeless, know this, that the light of the world, the hope of the world, has made his home in you. And where you go, the Spirit of the Lord goes. And where you speak life, the risen Jesus is proclaimed. You know, I've heard people talking recently about, well, I think the world's ending, so it's time to just bunker down. But if in times like these, you turn to speculation, you turn to times and days, and you forget that you've got a mission, then you've missed something. Because let me tell you, no, I actually did a history degree, so I can tell you this. You drop in human history at any point, and you will find things, you will find events, you will find wars and rumors of wars, you will find turmoil, probably in the Middle East. In every generation, people have thought, well, this is it. And let me tell you, in every generation, the mission of God hasn't changed. His intention for the church hasn't changed. His design that we would be a city on a hill, a light in the darkness, hasn't changed, friends. And if our first response to global events is speculation, and it's not love of neighbor, then we've missed something. I have a friend in Lebanon. He runs a Bible college. And every day bombs are falling. And what do you think his response is? It's open the doors. It's feed the sick. It's shelter the homeless. It's preach the gospel, because the mission hasn't changed. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but the Christian life is not a stagnant life. It's not a boring life. When you get saved, it's not over. When your salvation is an invitation to join the work of your risen Savior. He is making all things new, and He is making all things new in you, and He is making all things new in the world through you. So this morning, friends, if you're familiar with this story and you've heard it before, but between, you know, last April and this one, you've lost a bit of hope, or you've lost a bit of joy, or you've lost a bit of purpose, this morning's an opportunity for you to once again view your risen Savior and say, Jesus, come and make your home in me afresh. Holy Spirit, come, I need you to fire me up. And maybe that's you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're hearing this for the first time, you're like, Luke, calm down. I probably won't, sorry. If you're hearing this for the first time, let me tell you, there is a God who loves you so much and who invites you into life and hope and a future and a purpose. So much of our life is purposeless. And yet Jesus said He made us with a plan and a purpose in mind. He's got a plan and a purpose for His church. That's to make the name of Jesus great. But He's got a plan and a purpose for you. So if you feel directionless, if you feel aimless, if you feel hopeless, then you need to meet Jesus, because He'll tell you why you're here and what you're for. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're hurting, if you're mourning, then look to the risen Jesus. There's nowhere else to look, friends. Jesus once preached a sermon and it was fairly offensive, and most of the crowd left and His disciples stayed, and He said to them, will you go too? And Peter, who's always the first to speak, said, who else has the words of eternal life? So this morning, come to Jesus, because no one else has the words of eternal life. No one else offers hope to a hurting world. Let me pray. Father God, words don't do it justice. Lord, what you did on that first Easter Sunday, you changed history for all of mankind, but you changed it for us. I thank God you changed it for me. And Father God, you rose again. Your Son Jesus rose. And you've sent us, Holy Spirit, that we might, like Mary in that first moment, we might be witnesses to your resurrection. But we might be witnesses to all that that means, that you're alive, that you reign, that there is a kingdom coming, that there is hope, that there is freedom, that you are making all things new. And God, we don't want to be so familiar with this story that we're numb to it, that we're bored by it, that we're apathetic about it. Lord, let us see the risen Jesus and be spurred on. Let us be filled with hope. Let us be filled with purpose. Let us be filled with all joy that you are alive, that you rule and reign, and that you're coming back. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, and what I've been saying is just where it's just where you're at and what you needed to hear. That perhaps you've become a little bored, a little apathetic, maybe even a little hopeless or afraid. If you're here and that's you, what I want you to do is just stand. Just now, just stand before Jesus as a declaration and say, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me up again. If that's you, stand. Praise God. Come on, church. I know there's more of you. Why don't you lift your hands or open them or whatever works for you. But Father God, I thank you for your sons and daughters who are standing here now and saying, Jesus, I don't want to be cold to this. Jesus, I don't want to be bored by this. Come, Holy Spirit, would you fill them? Would you release them? Would you give them purpose and hope and mission? Lord, would you restore things that have been lost? Would you remind them of hopes and dreams that maybe they had when they were younger and they parked? Lord, would you equip your church that we might truly be a city on a hill? We might truly be a light to the world. So come, Lord Jesus, come. You're alive and you are here. And if you're here today and for the first time you want to put your hope in Jesus, then why don't you stand as well? I see you. Church, let me tell you, someone's just stood up to meet Jesus. Let's just... I'll catch you after. Father, thank you that one of your sons has come home. Lord, let us not be... let us never get tired of seeing that happen. Let us never be bored by people confessing their faith in you. Let us never be apathetic to the power of salvation. Oh, church, Jesus is alive. Why don't you all stand? The band's going to lead us in a song. It's called Hope Has a Name. And as I said before, we don't hold to a sort of a vague, generalized hope that things will somehow magically get better in the world. We have a specific hope in Jesus Christ. And we stand on His promise that He says, I am making all things new. We stand on His promise that He says, I am coming back. We stand on His promise that He has given us everything we need to live unto Him. So whether you stood this morning or not, why don't you sing this song as an anthem that hope has a name, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. He's not distant, friends. He's close. He's right here with you, and He has made His home in you. So let's sing and let's celebrate all that He's done.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.